This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Masjid al-Aqsa is not Palestine. Masjid al-Aqsa isn't Arab. All we can do is weep. The eyes can shed tears and the heart will weep. But we can never comprehend the strength of the iman of these individuals. That's when Imam Mahdi comes, he will come. Allah yusni'u fi layla. Allah will rectify him in one night. He's not going to be a religious scholar.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we began our journey looking at common sins that many of us Muslims that we carry out. And for some of us it may sound strange that while we're speaking about ma'asi and dhunub and sins in today's climate and today's world, but there's a great element of truth that many of the sins that we commit have an impact not just upon us, but upon the wider Muslim ummah at large as well. That's what we mentioned, that one sin leads to another sin. That's what the Quran tells us, يَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي سِلْمِ كَافَةً. Or you believe, enter into Islam wholeheartedly with trying your best, submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can. As Allah mentioned, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah as much as you can. Then returning back to our previous verse, Allah mentions, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. Do not follow the footsteps of the devil. Indeed, he's a clear enemy towards you. And as we mentioned, one sin opens up the door to another sin. And these are from amongst the traps and the snares of shaitan. Whether it be despairing or carrying out sins, that shaitan will come and whisper and say, wait, well, you've carried out this sin, you may as well carry out another sin. You may as well carry out another greater sin, another major sin. Till eventually you say, they may as well not even bother praying inside your life because you're a sinful individual. You're far away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no forgiveness for you. These are all the snares of shaitan. Talbis, iblis, the deception of the devil that enters into all of us. Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. Comes and whispers in our minds, in our hearts. Whether it be the greater weaknesses that place inside our mind and our heart, or the inner weaknesses within ourselves to fall down and to collapse and not to focus towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the Quran. It has this nature of speaking about staying away from sinning. For example, the Quran mentions, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّوْ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. And I mentioned that Surah Al-Isra, which is full of so many manhiyat, so many prohibitions are mentioned inside there, and it begins by speaking about, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Quran doesn't say, وَلَا تَفْعَلُوا الزِّنَا. Quran says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا. Don't come close to anything that leads to zina. وَبِدَايَةُ zina, huwa an-nadhr or nadhratu. The beginning of zina is the glance, the forbidden glance, to continuously begin to glare at something, to see something. It creates emotions. As you find in a weak hadith, it's mentioned that the glance is amongst the poison arrows of shaitan, that he shoots into the heart of the human being, and from there it begins to carry on till, may Allah forbid, it becomes the greatest form of zina that we find. So the Quran lays out these parameters to stay away from sinning. So all of us, we should exert our efforts, whatever type of sins, that this dissection that we find inside our society, and many things inside our society, these are for ulama. These are discussions that exist inside technical studies or specialists. We don't need to come inside society and say this is a minor sin or this is a major sin. Every sin is a sin that has an impact upon the individual. When a person falls into this trap, then it begins to have this leniency and complacency that we find inside society. That's why some of the pious predecessors mentioned, don't look at the size of the sin. Look at the magnitude, the greatness of the one that you've disobeyed is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also mentioned about Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he mentioned that the believer, when he or she commits a sin, they see it like a mountain on the top of their head. وَأَمَّا الْمُنَافِقِ. As for the hypocrite, just sees it as a fly that comes at the tip of their nose, brushes it aside, pays no attention towards it. That's the believer, he's always worried about what they're doing on this earth. That am I doing something that's creating a disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the companions went far beyond that. When they were in certain struggles and certain things they were doing, They wouldn't just focus upon abandoning the sins, they would even ask one another, what sunnah are we missing inside our lives? What sunnah are we not doing together collectively, or something we're neglecting that's going to give us strength? You know, for some of us it may sound trivial, something so basic, so elementary, even fighting and struggling, that why are they thinking about certain things? Because they know that success lies in certain deep inner things. There's a certain element of strength that you need externally around you, but the real conviction is deep down within. But the companions that they had, and that's what the Prophet placed inside their hearts by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he gave this parable of sins. In a hadith of Muslim Imam Ahmad that we find, the examples of sins, don't despise, look down upon sins. The example of sins is like a group of people on a journey, that they come to a valley. And when they come to that valley, فَيَأْتِ هَذَا بِعُودٍ وَهَذَا بِعُودٍ, this one comes with a piece, with a twig, with a piece of wood, with a branch, and together they begin to make a fire. And with that fire they begin to cook their bread. Meaning that every single individual person who bought something helps to ignite that fire. And indeed the individual does not begin to focus upon these sins. يُؤْخَذُ بِهَا صَاحِبُهَا تُهْلِكُهُ. Person doesn't focus upon this, that they just let their sins override them and eventually begin to destroy the individual. That's the impact of sins, as the Quran mentions at Surah Ar-Rum, the 30th chapter of the Quran. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. Corruption has appeared upon the land and the ocean because what man has done forth with his own hands. Let us pause at the concept of corruption. Awwal qissa fil Quran, the first story inside the Quran, is the story of Adam alayhi salam. Discussion, even prior to that, discussion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the angels. Wa idh qala rabbuka lil mala'ikati inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Allah said to the angels, I'm going to place upon this earth a viceroy, a vicegerent, a representative, a khalifa upon this earth. I'm going to place this human being upon the earth. قَالُوا تَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. Are you going to place upon this earth someone who's going to carry out fasad? وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. He's going to spill blood. How do the angels know this? A great discussion takes place in works of ulama tafsir. How do the angels have knowledge regarding this? Some highlight that the jinn lived upon the earth and they carried out this fasad upon the earth. Some of them mentioned they knew the intuition of the human being, that this is what the human being is going to go towards. Farasa min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the insight and the understanding was correct. Because most of mankind on the face of this earth wants fasad, wants to spill blood, and is spilling blood. What we visualize today. And if you remain with Surah Ar-Rum, the 30th chapter of the Quran, 60 verses of Meccan Surah. That's why we should just focus upon the Quran. This Surah, Surah Ar-Rum, that's speaking about the Romans. Alif Lam Mim, غُلِبَتِ الرُّوم فِي أَدْنَى الْأَرْضِ وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ فِي بِدْعِ سِنِينَ لِلَّيْلِ الْأَمْرُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَمِنْ بَعْدِ وَيَوْمَ إِذٍ يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He gives victory whomever he wants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. The surah begins by speaking about it's a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand the context, the two superpowers on the face of the earth at that time are the Romans, are the Christians, Ahlul Kitab, Wal-Faris, the Persians, the fire worshippers. So that's when the Romans were conquered. The Quraysh were, because they're mushrikun, they're idolaters. They worship idol statues close to those mushrikeen. So the Quraysh began to rejoice. Rejoice over the Muslims as well. That, look, these people have been overtaken. What do you have to say about this? But look at the Quran, the nature of the Quran. Look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ. After they've been taken over, they're going to be victorious. في بِدْعِ سِنِينَ.
in a certain amount of years, what bid in the Arabic language is between 3 and 9 years. That victory is going to come back to Ahlul Kitab. And some of the historians, they mention that victory came back to them at the same time the Muslims are fighting the Battle of Badr. When the Muslims became victorious there, they became victorious at that location. In the 8th year. This is mu'jizat min Allah. This is miracles from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a Makkan surah. Speaking about victory that's going to come at a later stage. That's what you call thiqa bil Quran, belief inside the Quran. That's all I say to myself and to all of you. Just read the Quran. That's why those ahadith that mentioned that the Quran won't go beyond person's throat. It doesn't necessarily mean people just recite the Quran. It's many of us. ما عندنا تدبر ولا تفكر ولا فهم للقرآن. We just read the Quran. We don't have no deep, intricate understanding of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do they mean? We can't visualize the Quran. We can't visualize the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ba'idin, far away. Far away from the message of the Quran. That's the first weakness within ourselves. As we mentioned previously as well, وَمَنْ أَشْتَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Who's more truthful in speech than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَ وَدِينِ كُلِّهِ. He sent his messenger with a message. Let us get it crystal clear. To be dominant over all other adyan. Crystal clear first, it should be inside our hearts and our mind. That's the second weakness. How will Islam be victorious? Is it really victorious? Should we always be bending over backwards? Should we always be apologetic? Should we always be kind? Should we always be nice? Should we always straight away when we ask questions, be in the defense and apologize? What should we apologize about? That we need to always apologize. We need to be apologetic about everything inside our lives. That shows weakness. Da'fi qulubina. Weakness inside our hearts and our minds. We remain with Surah Ar-Rum that we find Allah also mentions, speaking about these individuals, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. What does that teach us? يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They have complete position about everything about this world. Complete position. Don't think via competing them to have exactly the same thing will give us that victory. Because the Quran gives the message. They know everything about this world, about this dunya. وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. As for akhirah, they're heedless. They're lost. خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. They've lost this world and the akhirah. قَتْلَانَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Our dead are going to paradise. That's where they're going. That's what they believe in. That's the conviction. That's why you can't fight against a people whose conviction is not this dunya. Their conviction is a higher element, a higher belief, a higher reward, a higher intent. You can never bring that force down to his knees. You can bring a man down to his knees. You'll never bring his heart down to his knees. You'll never make the heart submit because many hearts will rise. It may take 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. It may take 100 years, but people will rise. That's what Islam is. It will never, ever be wiped out on the face of this earth. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These are only days that we alternate. A day for them, a day for you. It's alternation. And even this alternation is signs for many of us to awaken our relationship towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And the same surah Allah mentions, it's going to be a right upon us to give victory to the believing individuals. Let's not worry about them. Or some people that we find are just busy trying to find things about them. Oh, look at this, look at that. Look at this person. Look at that. Maybe because look at their sins. This is not the time to look at a person's sins. When your child is hurt and you go to the doctor, does the doctor speak to you, oh, you must have been a bad parent, you allowed your child to come close to this, then they got burned or they fell over, they got hurt? Is that how the doctor treats you? Is that how the doctor treats your child, treats you, speaks to you in that manner? That's what some of us Muslims are doing. That's what we're looking for. But there's an element of truth that what we can do amongst our own selves. And not to sound patronizing, because some people are trying to patronize other people about what their efforts may be. There's certain things that we can do and that we need to do inside our lives. Istarku dhunub wal ma'asi wal dhunub. Is abandonment of sins and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it should ignite within ourselves. Ya Allah, I've been ghafil. I've been heedless. I've been away from your path. I sin and I err. There may be a small element, small percentage, as you mentioned, these sins that each one of us is having this indirect impact upon what's taking place around us upon the face of this earth. Wa nahtam bil fara'id. Become more observant about the obligatory actions. As-salah. The prayer. And like I said, I don't want to sound patronizing towards people who have this emotional feeling towards Philistine, etc. I don't want to sound like that. But I'm just highlighting what's something that we can do inside our lives. Wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Wa innaha lakabirun illa lil-khashi'in. Seek aid and assistance via the prayer. Every time the Prophet was disturbed, he was rattled. What did he do? He came to a salah. Hatta fil jihad inside Surah An-Nisa. Look at the way of salah is performed. Even whilst fighting against the enemy, it's never abandoned. Because that's where we find our strength. In that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even more, it should be now inside our lives. That we're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we complete our prayers, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Him, implore and beg Him. These are all things that we could do inside our lives. Like we mentioned, qira'atul Qur'an, to recite the Qur'an inside our lives. Bittadabbur wa tafakkur, to reflect upon the Qur'an. Just read the Qur'an, just read anything from the Qur'an. Read Al-Baqarah, read Ali Imran. Read Surah At-Tawbah, Al-Anfal. Read these surahs, look what these surahs describe. It's as if the Qur'an is being opened up in front of us. Talking about sifat, characteristics, talking about this, talking about that. People remaining steadfast, people giving victory, people going through hardships. It's all there inside the Qur'an. So that's what we could do inside our lives. To strengthen ourselves and strengthen these people. And likewise, at-tawakkal ala Allah. You know, it puts us to shame. It puts us to shame, just a normal person. A normal person loses their son, loses their daughter in these atrocities, hardships. Look how much they praise Allah, remember Allah. Washing their child, shrouding their child, burying their child. The doctor who spent all week treating other people walks in and sees his own son in front of him. Think he's just another patient. And it's his own son. All we can do is weep. The eyes can shed tears and the heart can weep. But we can never comprehend the strength of the iman of these individuals. That's what someone will mention. This isn't, you don't classify this as some form of fitna. This is a reality. Because they know what the greater scope of things is. They know that this falls, everything falls. That's what we need to understand. This falls, everything falls. So that's why everybody rallies around that. And that conviction. And likewise, it's our belief. This isn't something subsidiary about Islam. About how you pray, how you fast. How you do certain things. Let us be crystal clear. This is our belief, our conviction. And whoever questions that must have deficiencies inside their belief. They must have deficiency inside their belief. Open deficiency. to not show affiliation and love towards the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the precincts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's as we mentioned that some of these things that we carry out doing inside our lives, that for some of us the world just continues. That we just carry on with our muharramat, the haram things that we do. And some of us may think, why are we speaking about these harams, these sins inside our society? Or why such language that we need to address these things? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. We never sent any messenger except to speak with the language of his people. وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَادٍ. For every single nation, we sent a warner, we sent a messenger. That you need to be able to know what people are involved in inside our society. Likewise, amongst the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the difference inside your languages and the colors of your skin. That's what ulama said, the different language, be able to speak to people. That's what the Prophet was, he was able to speak to Badi al-Qawm, Ahlul Badia, the Bedouin Arabs, Mala'ul Qawm, the Quraysh, the elite people, the young, the old, the child, anybody, he could engage with them. He didn't have one demeanor. That's what made the Prophet so special inside his life. He's able to move in so many different variances, to speak all type of people. There's a mention by Imam Ali radiallahu anhu, kallimun nas ala qadri uqulim, speak to people according to their intellect, according to what people understand and what they're going through inside their lives. Also we find that some people say, is not belief enough? Is it not just enough to tell people what belief is? Read through the Quran, read through Surah Al-A'raf, where it speaks about belief and speaks about how each messenger came to address the vices inside their society, to rectify the society of the sins that existed around them. Another excuse people may say is just, we're exposing people to evil. But we can't dig our head down in the sand and pretend these things don't exist inside our society. And the evidence is Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he said that people would ask about the good things. وَكُنْتُ أَسْأَلُ عَنِ الشَّرِّ مُخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِي. People ask the good things to the Prophet. I would ask about the bad things. What's going to happen? What are the bad things we need to avoid inside our lives? Because maybe it may come over me. وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَ الشَّعْرِ لَمَّا قَالَ عَرَفْتُ الشَّرَّ لَا لِلشَّرِّ. I studied evil, not for the sake of it, but like لِتَلَافِهِ, but to stay away from it. وَمَنْ لَا يَعْرِفُ الشَّرْ جَدِيرٌ أَنْ يَقَعَ فِيهِ. Whoever doesn't know evil will eventually fall into it. And our society is full of so many evils that we're surrounded by on a daily basis that we need to address, especially amongst the youth, that we find that many just carry on doing their life, carry on doing their muharramat inside society. As we mentioned, كُلُّ مُسْكِرْ حَرَامِ, everything that intoxicates is haram. مَا أَسْكَرَ كَثِيرُ فَقَلِيلُ حَرَامُ, whatever intoxicates you in large amounts is forbidden, small amounts. Teach our youth and our elders the harm and extent of this problem. Because many of us, we come to the masjid and we thrive inside the masjid. But step outside the masjid. See what the Muslim youth are doing. What are they involved in inside their lives? Would you rather have the Muslim youth inside the masjid, making some noise, or being slightly abrupt inside the masjid, or for them to be out on the streets? Yes, there's a sanctity of the masjid, no doubt, that we need to respect. But this isn't a Muslim country. This is a Muslim environment. So you have to begin to utilize your mind and your skills. That what are we going to do about these youth? What are we going to do about them? To build these grand masjids, these grand chandeliers, these grand carpets, these grand buildings. But there's our youth outside there on the streets on a daily basis. And likewise, also a solution to preach to remove these vices in our society. Rehabilitation that needs to take place. And likewise, in final conclusion, accountability. This is a key message for all of us, that accountability over and in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the world is silent at the moment. Because we don't really believe
that there's going to be muhasabah, there's going to be accountability for us. And as we mentioned, the final verse inside the Quran, inside Surah Al-Baqarah, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Fear that day when you're going to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كُلُّ النَّاسِ. Let's not dissect Islam. This person's like this, this person like this, this person like that. This person has a special degree, this person has a special degree. That's not what the Quran addresses us. And likewise, in conclusion, Masjid al-Aqsa is not Palestine. Masjid al-Aqsa isn't Arab. Masjid al-Aqsa is Hanifan Muslima. Masjid al-Aqsa is Islam, is Muslim. It's not a rally for the Palestinian people. That's second or tertiary. It's not a rally for them. It's not a rally for the Arab cause. It's a rally for Islam. It's a journey of Islam, as we mentioned. Because when Masjid al-Aqsa falls, everything behind it will crumble. As it says, the last straw to show the world. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرُوا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They can plot and plan. They can do whatever they want to do. As we just sit there just discussing amongst our own selves, there will be people who rise. Those ahadith that we read throughout our lives, there's going to be a group of people who are going to be victorious. They don't care about those people who betray them, who go against them. Zahirin al-haq, always upon the truth. It's not a textbook. It's not ilm. Now some people try to make ta'wil of it. It's not ilm. That's not ilm at that moment at time. It's a struggle. It's a struggle, the build-up of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Everything that we read, what will take place in that blessed land, that blessed environment, this is all a playoff. Everything is far away from us, what took place inside Afghanistan. Trillions were spent to bomb those people down to the ground. 20 years later, the same people they bombed, they sit down on a table and make them the leaders of that country. 1947, the separation of Kashmir, 70 odd years still there. Myanmar that we find, all through the world that we find, Uyghur Muslims. It may be a distance to us. Allah now is bringing it home. Bring it all home together. That you may think that's all far away. This is all the last day building up in front of us all. Like I began with, it could be 50 years, 100 years. It's the build-up. Don't think that all of a sudden the demographics are going to change. It's going to be a gradual process. Just like Bilad al-Sham, Syria at the moment, is being taken down. There's a reason, hikmatullahi baligha, to create that environment, to create that platform. And that platform is prepared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's, as I mentioned last week, that we need to take it away from our mind and our heart, what we hear every single day. When we're ready, we will stand. No one knows when we're ready. No one will ever know when we're ready. The only one who knows when we're ready is Allah. And even when we're not ready, Allah will make it that we become ready inside our lives. That's when Imam Mahdi comes, he will come. Allah yuslihu fi layla. Allah will rectify him in one night. He's not going to be a religious scholar. He's not going to be a religious person. He's not going to be a reviver as such. He's going to be a normal person. That in one night, Allah will rectify him and make him the rally. Make him the person that the whole Muslim Ummah will rally around him. And what will he do? That liberation, that victory that will be given, that will be the best jaysh on the face of this earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liberate that land once again, give it its success. All those individuals harm and going through suffering, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook their sufferings in the hajj and make them shuhada. And those subhanahu wa ta'ala, write them down as martyrs. All those children that have passed away, who've been bombed to death, buildings have dropped upon them, pure innocent children that these hardships have to go through, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give their parents patience, give the land patience, give them a victory that's given to them immediately or even at a later stage, and give us all ability to awaken ourselves and strengthen ourselves in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.